Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday. Over the airwaves of Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. I won't make any promises. I won't make any promises. I won't act like there's nothing that you can say or do that won't get on my damn nerves. But I'm going to confess to all of you listeners out there, everybody watching me right now, I'm going to confess to you that a day like today is going to be very, very, very hard to get me in a bad mood. Because it's orange and blue skies, baby. It's orange and blue skies. This is what I'm talking about right here, okay? No, the NBA Cup is not a championship. No, the New York Knicks did not erase their absence from championship stature since 1973. No, they are not hosting, you know, the Larry O'Brien Trophy. I get it. I understand it. But one could easily make the argument that this is the greatest shot. This season is the greatest shot that the New York Knicks have had at a championship since about 1995, 1996. You understand? I mean, I remember the series that they lost when the Charles Smith got a shot blocked five times. The Horace Grants, the Jordans got blocked or stripped by Horace Grant, Jordan, Pippen, and all of them. I remember that. But what you got to remember is that the New York Knicks, at that time, Dave Checkets and Ernie Grunfeld and Ed Tapscott, they had us believing that the New York Knicks had a shot to win a championship if you could just knock off Michael Jordan. And the New York Knicks went up 2-0 in that series and had the Chicago Bulls on the ropes. Remember all of that. Remember all of that. Now we fast forward to this year. And let me tell you something right now. It's not far-fetched and it's not beyond the pale to compare the New York Knicks to those times when they were getting to the playoffs every single year, when Ewing and Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley and John Starks and the Derek Harpers of the world and others were on the basketball court. And they gave you a reason to believe. This is not far-fetched from that time. I am not engaging in hyperbole here. See, back then when the New York Knicks were title contenders and they went to the finals against Houston in 94 after Jordan retired, okay? Back then, the New York Knicks, that New York Knicks team, this team is comparable to that. You know why this team is comparable to that? Because 2 years ago, they were in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you had Brunson and Josh Hart and those boys getting hurt. Last year, they were in the conference finals. So what's the next step? It's the finals. What did I start out? What did your friendly neighborhood radio host, Stephen A. Smith, start out by telling y'all at the beginning of the season? That the New York Knicks are going to the NBA finals. They're going to represent the East in the NBA finals. Now, I am fully aware that the Detroit Pistons look incredibly formidable. And that Bickerstaff and those boys want New York badly. I'm fully aware of that. I'm fully aware that the New York Knicks got their work cut out for them. I'm fully aware of what the Detroit Pistons are bringing. I know my man Jalen Rose is somewhere talking about Detroit and what they going to do in Detroit and the Motor City and how the New York Knicks are going to get the rail. I'm fully aware of that. But the reality is, what did last night's NBA Cup mean? It means that it's justified to look at the New York Knicks as favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference and represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. That's what the hell it means. Now, it doesn't always mean that. Lakers won it 2 years ago. They got bounced out in the first round of the postseason. Milwaukee won it last year. They got bounced out in the first round of the postseason when Tyrese Halliburton's daddy got in the face of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Which is a mistake that he admitted, and he's a very nice man, so I'm not trying to be critical of him. I like Mr. Halliburton. I really, really do. And I respect the hell out of Tyrese and his capabilities. But let me be very, very clear. The New York Knicks are coming. Now, Tom Thibodeau was a hell of a coach, and I get that part. But the line of the year, the line of the 2024-2025 NBA season, if not the sports world, came from Kenny the Jet Smith on TNT at the time, before the Inside the NBA crew transferred over to ESPN. Kenny the Jet Smith said this quote about Tom Thibodeau, which is absolutely positively accurate. He'd have trouble playing nine dudes in a baseball game. That's what he said. Now, keep in mind, you got to play nine. All right? You look at every position on the field. Catcher, pitcher, first base, second base, shortstop, third base, left field, center field, right field. You got to play nine. And he said that Tom Thibodeau would have problems playing nine dudes in a baseball game. Line of the year, because it's true. Mike Brown don't have that problem. New coach for the New York Knicks. He don't have that problem. When you look at Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench and this Cat Kolick, I got to tell you something right now. I'm very happy with what I saw. Them brothers combined for 29 points, 24 in the second half last night. I saw Mitchell Robinson grab 15 rebounds last night and contribute with Karl Anthony Towns in keeping Victor Wembanyama and the rest of the crew off the boards. I saw Jalen Brunson win MVP, getting another 25-point game. I saw OG Anunoby drop 28, hit 5 of 10 from three-point range. I saw Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby hit three-point shots. Both of them are shooting over 40% from three this year. If that continues, the New York Knicks should be going to the finals. They should be going to the finals. Now, thank God they didn't go overboard by swearing up and down they're going to hang the banner in the rafters of Madison Square Garden. This ain't that kind of party. Lakers did it. Bucks did it. Don't need to be doing that if you're the New York Knicks. You know what we hungry for. You know what we want. You know what we starving for. You know what this is. This is about a championship. And when you consider the fact that Jason Tatum is down in Boston with an Achilles tear, that Damian Lillard is no longer in Milwaukee with Giannis Antetokounmpo after tearing his Achilles and ultimately being let go and ultimately returning to Portland, when you consider the fact that Tyrese Halliburton, the Knick killer over the last 2 years, is out with a torn Achilles himself, you got a chance. You got a chance, which is all we're asking for here. Now, to be fair, because I am a fair-minded individual, Victor Wembanyama, my condolences, heartfelt condolences to him and his family. He learned yesterday morning before the game that he had lost his grandmother. And so because of that, his heart was heavy. We understand that. And obviously that combined with a minutes restriction that he was playing under, he only played 20 minutes in a playoff game. Obviously he would play significantly more. We saw what this brother was doing. I mean, this brother is so special, Victor Wembanyama. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never seen anything like him. I mean, jab, step, pivot, pulling up for J's, pulling up for three-point shots, catching alley-oops like it's out of style off of inbounds plays and all of this other stuff. This brother is special. Special. And and guess what? Stephon Castle is no joke either. Devin Vassell is no joke either. Dylan Harper, the rookie out of Rutgers, the son of Ron Harper, who was a champion with Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls himself. This young brother is going to be special. He can play. And, of course, De'Aaron Fox is a stud, no doubt about it. But when the New York Knicks showed you what they showed you last night, you do find yourself fantasizing. You do find yourself dreaming. You do find yourself thinking about, hey, wait a minute, what can they do? One of the things that really, really stood out in my mind when I was watching the New York Knicks last night, I loved it. I'm trying to remember what it was the fourth quarter. And Jalen Brunson turned the ball over after being pressured by Castle to some degree. And Mike Brown immediately turned and went to his bench and brought Kolick in. But he didn't bring him in to replace Jalen Brunson. He brought him in to have an additional ball handler, to be able to deal with the pressure. And the kid did just fine. And so when I look at it from that standpoint, I think about a Karl Anthony Towns, and I think about a Mitchell Robinson, whose job is to rebound and defend and block shots. And when I think about him and how formidable he is as a defensive presence and what he brings to the table, when I think about Josh Hart, the Energizer Bunny, I think about the combination of him, Mikal Bridges, and OG Anunoby looking like cardiac kids. And then you got a superstar like Brunson, because statistically, in terms of his production and the way he performs, he might not have a superstar personality, but he's got a superstar game in terms of production. I'll tell you that much. Look at what we're looking at when we're talking about the New York Knicks. We're talking NBA right now. And don't tell me that the New York Knicks should not have a legitimate shot and be seen as one of the top two teams to come out of the Eastern Conference. To come out of the Eastern Conference and be able to deliver you a conference championship. The reason I'm stopping short of that is because I don't give a damn what anybody says. And I don't care what happened in the cup, you know, the Emirates NBA Cup competition semifinals over the weekend. I can't see anybody, if I'm being totally honest, I can't see anybody beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were 24-1 coming into the damn game. Winners of 16 straight. Shai Gilgeous playing like the superstar that he is. The reigning champion, the reigning league MVP, the reigning NBA Finals MVP. The brother ain't miss a beat. Jalen Williams just came back a few games ago. He ain't miss a beat. Chet Holmgren and Hartenstein, we know what they bring to the table. Caruso and others, we see what they bring to the table. I'm just telling you, Oklahoma City is complete. You ain't going to win every game in the NBA. I could see them, however, winning 73 games and tying, if not eclipsing, the all-time record of regular season wins. Because I think they're that deep. I think they can shut you down anytime they want to. I think that what they've got, size, they've got athleticism, they've got defensive prowess, they've got perimeter shooting, they've got ball handling, and they got a superstar and a closer in Shai Gilgeous Alexander. I can't pick a New York Knicks team to beat that team. I can't pick anybody to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Even though a team like Denver and Houston, to a lesser degree, should be able to give you a run for your money. I would have loved to see a Houston team with Fred VanVleet healthy. Then I would have said some things. And then with Denver, I'm still not ruling out Jokic and Murray because they went out and they got a bench this year. Whether or not they're going to really, really miss Michael Porter Jr. remains to be seen. But with Aaron Gordon, with those two aforementioned that I just mentioned, with reacquiring Bruce Brown and others, I can't sleep on Denver either. But there's just no question that Oklahoma City is the class of the NBA. So I got to look at it from that standpoint and say, hey, can't see nobody beating them. But I could see the Knicks meeting them for the NBA Finals. Meeting, not beating, but meeting them. And if somebody like San Antonio or Denver was fortunate enough to knock off Oklahoma City, then the Knicks could win the championship. Knicks could win the chip. Orange and blue skies, baby. Knicks could win the chip. That's right, I'm saying it. So that's how I'm looking at it. That's where my enthusiasm comes from. And that's what I want y'all to think about. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Plus, you can send me your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/straight shooter. I'm sorry, /get serious. That's SiriusXM.com/get serious. That's one item I wanted to talk to. The other thing I wanted to get to was this game tomorrow night, National Football League. Los Angeles Rams going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Got to give props where it's due to Sam Darnold, who was in Minnesota last year. First 16 games, okay? First 16 games of the season was 14-2. Wet the bed in the season finale after they showered them with water, feigning it like it was champagne, acting like they had won something 16 games in when they hadn't even won the division title yet. They hadn't won a playoff game yet. Minnesota celebrated. He nosedived those last two games, the regular season finale against Detroit. Remember, they had the number one seed on the line. They had the number one seed on the line. They lose the season finale to Detroit. They went from number one to number five, having to go on the road in a playoff game against Los Angeles instead of hosting a home game, likely against the Washington Commanders. And they lost to the Rams. And subsequently, Sam Darnold, who's looking for a hefty payday because he was under a one-year, $10 million deal with Minnesota, decides to take his talents to Seattle for a $100 million deal, $33 million on average for an annual salary, and he goes and more than triples his payday. And because he did that, he's been in Seattle flat-out balling. And we got to give credit where credit is due. And so now that we look at it from that standpoint, you got to preview this game tomorrow night. Rams are visiting the Seahawks. Remember, Devontae Adams goes down with the hamstring injury. So now you don't have your reliable weapon in the red zone if you're Matthew Stafford. Not to mention a guy that registered 14 touchdowns for you this year. But you still got Puka Nacua. You still got Kyren Williams. You still got Matthew Stafford who's thrown 37 touchdowns and has only been sacked 19 times. You still got Sean McVay calling plays and coaching his butt off. You still got a defense that can get at people. I'm looking at the Los Angeles Rams and I'm saying, yo, this is important because let me tell you one place. I'm going to tell you the top two places you want to avoid if you are in the NFC. You do not want to go to Seattle to have to play the Seahawks in a playoff game because that proverbial figurative 12th man is real. It ain't proverbial, it ain't figurative. We can say it, but it's real. I'm telling you right now, it is no freaking joke. It is no joke. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to go up in Seattle. I will remind you, I'll harken back. Griff, do me a favor, please look up this year for me. Which year did New Orleans have the best record in the NFC South, but turned around and had to play Seattle in Seattle, okay, and beast mode went berserk when he broke all of them damn tackles and flipped backwards into the end zone. I think it was 2010, okay? And Seattle was an under 500 team, but they had won their division. Therefore, they got to host a playoff game. I think that rule sucks. I think the NFL shouldn't even be about division titles. I think they should be about the top seven teams in a conference, and the seeding should be accordingly. You can't have an under 500 record, and just because you won your weak-ass division, you get to host a home playoff game against a team within the same conference that was three or four games better than you record-wise in a regular season, yet you get to host them. They got to come on the road to play you. If Drew Brees and those boys had the Seahawks in New Orleans, there's no way they lose that game. But they lost it because it was in Seattle, and Seattle is a different beast. That's what happened. That's what happened. And I'm saying to you, you don't want to have to go to Seattle. I don't care who you are. The other place you don't want to have to go to is Chicago and Soldier Field. Because we all know, ain't no such thing as good weather in Chicago in December and January. I mean, they don't call it the Windy City for nothing. You talk about that wind coming off of Lake Michigan, right on Soldier Field. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I've been there in October and I was shivering. Now, Chicago's a fabulous city. It's a phenomenal city. But let me tell you something right now. You only want me to tell you what the Chicago, I don't know if anybody's ever said this. Are y'all ready for this? You know what the Chicago, you know what the city of Chicago is the best place for? Are you ready? Lovers. Lovers. Where you going? You ain't trying to go out in Chicago. You ain't trying to take your ass outside. You trying to stay inside and cuddle. That's what you're trying to do. You trying to hug up with one another. You want to be, you want to have enough till you got a fireplace. Or you know what? As one of my boys say, my boys tell me this all the time. Ain't nothing like the loving you get from a big woman. You understand what I'm saying? You just don't understand. She keep you warm. She keep you warm. You be all cuddly inside and all that other stuff. I guess that's true. But I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. And I know how Charles Barkley talk about them San Antonio women. I bet you a few of them in Chicago. Because it's cold there. It's cold. Now, I've also seen some gorgeous women in Chicago, period, so I'm not trying to act like that's not the case. I'm just simply saying, you want to be a couple. You want to have a significant other in Chicago. You ain't going outside. You ain't trying to go outside. Between November through April, you are not trying to go outside. You're trying to stay your ass inside. It's too damn cold, okay? That's what's going on in Chicago. And if you're a football team with that wind coming off of Lake Michigan, with how frigid it is, let me tell you, you ain't trying to play football there. Not if you could, if you got, listen, if you're the Chicago Bears because of that home crowd, that's a given. But as a football player that has to endure those conditions, I bet you they'd rather be in L.A. I bet you they'd rather be indoors in the dome in Detroit. Philadelphia ain't easy either at Lincoln Financial Field. But the two worst places to have to play a playoff game, if you're the road team this season, is Seattle and Chicago. That's what I'm telling you. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. This 888-623-3646. One other subject that I wanted to get to before I go to commercial was this. I wanted to transition to boxing because Terrence Crawford has announced his retirement from the sport. He's hanging up the gloves. 42-0, 31 KOs, undefeated, unblemished. On countless occasions, he has answered the call, and he has proven to be one of the elite fighters the world has ever seen. And if indeed he plans on staying retired, which I don't think so, because I think boxers are different, and I think for the right price and the right fight, he comes back. I will tell you that when I think about Terrence Crawford, major, major props to him. Never cheated the sport. Never cheated the game. I predicted he'd beat Errol Spence. I did not see that destruction coming. I mean, Errol Spence got beat so bad, I thought he should contemplate retirement, and I insisted that he should not be allowed in the ring for at least a year. That's how bad Errol Spence got beat. And we haven't seen him since, and it's been a couple of years. Okay, so let me get that out of the way. That's number one. Number two, Errol Spence. Okay? It's very, very important to bring this up. When you look at Terrence Crawford, here's all you need to recognize. We don't know whether he would have beat Floyd Money Mayweather. We don't know whether he would have beat a Sugar Ray Leonard. We don't know whether he would have beat a Tommy the Hitman Hearns in his prime at the welterweight division. We don't know any of that. But here's what we do know. Terrence Crawford belongs in the conversation. And it is debatable. We can't say definitively that Floyd, the greatest defensive fighter who ever lived, would beat Terrence Crawford. Even though I think he would. We can't say definitively. We can't say definitively whether he would have beat Sugar Ray Leonard, even though I think Sugar Ray Leonard would have beat him too. But I don't know. But Terrence Crawford belongs in the conversation. We never saw him hurt, so we don't know, but we imagine that Tommy Hitman Hearns fighting anybody and catching anybody with that right hand, particularly at the welterweight division, what that would have had. I saw Tommy the Hitman Hearns turn Roberto Duran's head 180 in a knockout. I saw him put Pepino Cuevas to sleep. I saw him beating Sugar Ray Leonard and detaching that retina of his. And then Angelo Dundee, the great trainer that used to train Muhammad Ali as well, was in Sugar Ray's corner saying, "You're losing it, baby, you're losing it." And Sugar Ray come out in the 13th round like a wild man and took out Tommy the Hitman Hearns in the 14th round, stopped him. I've seen all of this. I don't know what Terrence Crawford would have done against those guys. But I know that he's proven himself to be so brilliant that we can't definitively say that he would have lost. He's been a testament and a tribute to the game of boxing. And if he truly is gone forever, I'm going to miss him. But I also will say this. There's a couple of dudes that I feel sorry for. One, because they never got a chance to fight Terrence Crawford. The other, because it just has me thinking about fighters who are being avoided. First things first, Jerron Boots Ennis out of Philadelphia. This brother special, y'all. He's a southpaw, the brother special. Got power in both hands, can fight, and I really wish that Terrence Crawford had given him a fight. Him and Charlo, the smaller Charlo. I wish he had fought both of them, because the Charlos are good friends with Errol Spence Jr. And I know they got animosity towards Terrence Crawford. It would have been nice to see them in a fight against Terrence Crawford, at least one of them. The other person that I feel bad for is the Mexican monster himself, David Benavidez. Because even though we saw Terrence Crawford beat Canelo Alvarez, we have to be honest about the fact that with Canelo, he was the bigger man, the more powerful man, no doubt, but slower. Terrence Crawford was clearly quicker and had proved himself to be a magician in the ring in terms of his superiority boxing-wise. Even Terrence Crawford would hesitate to fight David Benavidez, who's now gone from super middleweight to light heavyweight and now is going to fight at cruiserweight. Why? Because people keep running from him. The two fighters that we should want to see in major, major fights to find out what they are made of is Jerome Boots Ennis and David Benavidez. But it ain't their fault, because people keep avoiding them. And it's a damn shame. That's why boxing isn't bigger, because they allow these fighters to be avoided. I'm not accusing Terrence Crawford of doing that, for sure. He went and got that money, and Canelo Alvarez was the big money fight. Jerome Boots Ennis was going to be a mega fight, no doubt, but not a big money fight the way Canelo Alvarez was. And if Terrence Crawford wants to step away, he's been fighting long enough, I can't blame him. But it would have been nice if Terrence Crawford had stayed at the welterweight division and we saw a title fight against Jerome Boots Ennis. I'm sorry that didn't happen. It's not Terrence Crawford's fault, but I'm sorry that didn't happen. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Your calls and more in a minute. Live right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Plus, got college football to touch on, but that won't be until hour number two. Stick around. You're listening live to Stephen A. Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with you in a minute.